Fight the Hand That Starves You. Written by Irrelevancy. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, One Piece. Rating, Explicit. Relationship, Katakuri, Marco. Warning for graphic depictions of violence. Also tagged for Canon Universe, Negotiations, Love Bites, Teeth, Evolutionary Biology, Weird Biology, Communication, Marco's Good at It, Sexual Content, Blood Play, Size Difference, Porn with Feelings, Family Issues, Families of Choice, Self-Esteem Issues, Healing Sex, Happy Sex, Oral Sex. It's really nice, I swear. Recorded for Podoween 2025. It's you and me in this world. 내게로 다시 와, time me. 날 구원할 거라면 just come kiss me and bite me. You're the one song memory. 널 찾는 세포는 scream. 이제 나를 wanna hit a bit. 운명은 우리 다시 밝혀냈지. 감히 bad 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 나를 괴롭힌 뭔가 찾아 헤매는 dreams. 떠올랐어 when you're next to me. 잠시 잊혀진 나의 이름이. In 10 seconds, Marco the Phoenix would warily accept Whitebeard's order to stand guard outside the door, while the enemy captain and Mama spoke inside. The Whitebeard 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Division commanders, brought to match the 4 suite commanders, would move to stand in line down the hallway, mirroring Katakuri and his siblings. Then they'd all wait around in silence while their captains negotiated inside. Firefist Ace would speak first. Katakuri's eyes flashed to him before he'd even taken a breath, and Katakuri knew that the Phoenix noticed. That was fine. Katakuri's powers weren't ones that diminished with an opponent's knowledge of them. Firefist had a friendly grin that was in no way matched by Cracker's sharp smile, as he said something about how yummy their entire territory looked, and, ha-ha, did everybody like sweets around here? Cracker would answer, "Of course, we're artisans here. Did you get a taste on your way in?" And Firefist would continue the conversation, still laughing, choosing to ignore the bloodlust present in Cracker's unarmored eyes, and taking the words at face value. So, without his intervention being necessary. He loved sweets, he would have said. Katakuri settled back against the wall once more. And once more, the Phoenix tracked his motions. Whitebeard's first commander did not have the same skill set as Katakuri, merely keeping pace real time. That hardly meant a thing, though, when nearly all the world kept to regular time, and only Katakuri himself had to claw and scramble ahead with viciously upright desperation just to keep everything where they were supposed to be. Voices would raise and the door would open. T-minus 6 seconds. Marco's head turned towards the door before even Katakuri's could, guided by some instinct Katakuri was not privy to. Katakuri stared. Both sets of commanders were stood at the ready when the doors burst open, but not to a war. It was Whitebeard looking as monumentally displeased as he always looked when Katakuri had seen him. That expression turned even more viscerally upset when his attention honed down and in on his small, human-sized sons. Marco the Phoenix huffed out a laugh. In 2 seconds, he would say, I told you, Pops, I'll do it. Katakuri would know what this was in reference to. And Katakuri didn't need observation hockey to know what next. Mama would be laughing loudly and calling Whitebeard back in, along with his son, and also her son, the strongest one who had never failed her, yet, never disappointed her, yet, and had always done as she asked for the family. Katakuri wasn't special in that regard, but he got the sense that Marco the Phoenix, with his big brother's stride, his confidence meant to comfort, the way his shoulders didn't need squaring because they were always already squared, ready to billow out into mythic wings whenever danger came, was. The door shut behind the two of them. Katakuri and Marco, and the negotiations would truly begin. Not marriage. That was far too extreme a deal to propose to a man as powerful as Whitebeard, even for Mama. But your son, Mama leered, and Katakuri could applaud Marco for keeping his cool under her covetous, willful attention. I like his powers. I want to collect him.
You know you're not taking any of my children, Lin-Lin. Whitebeard growled, setting a protective hand on Marco's shoulder.
Marco still wasn't moving, shifting, or letting himself show any other sign of anxiety, pinned as he was between the two Yonko.
We're here to negotiate, but if we find no common terms, we're taking those islands by force.
There was no doubt in anyone's mind that both Mama and Whitebeard meant what they said. That in turn meant, if they could find no mutual ground, some great and terrible tsunami would come. Siblings would get hurt and die. Katakuri wasn't naive enough to believe otherwise, against a crew like Whitebeard's. And Katakuri would have failed again, unless... Marco was watching Katakuri again, and Katakuri could see... Mama, I can collect him for you. Decisions and futurity blurred for a man like Katakuri, but it wasn't like the difference mattered if one had control over both. Katakuri did. He carefully weighed all the pieces at play now, and turned a choice into the future. This future left him hot with impotent, directionless rage, and that was a heat that, if brushed apart, Katakuri knew would reveal nothing but unpleasant, slimy panic underneath. So he didn't brush it apart, and after a moment swallowed the heat whole too, put it away for his regularly scheduled but tightly controlled indulgence in privacy. That anger had no place in Mama's utopia. He made his proposal, knowing that Marco the Phoenix's shoulders would relax, and that Marco would even flash him a kind of grateful, kind of friendly grin. Katakuri would see that grin twice. First by hockey, second by time. His lungs would feel a notable compression both times. It always came down to family for sons like them. Katakuri didn't know who his father was, just what his father was. That was all he needed to say, and once Whitebeard's son was on board with the proposal, Whitebeard himself ceded to Marco's will. A parent who didn't force... But never mind. That was hardly a productive path to tread. Not when Katakuri was already gone so far down another. The payment would be made in 5 installments, because what Katakuri could do didn't last. So any time Mama anticipated a tea party where she could show off the immortal blue feathers in her collection, Marco would come to Katakuri. No eternal trapping, no flattening between book pages. One visit for each island that now flew the Whitebeard Jolly Roger. Mama said gleefully,
There's a tea party in 3 days.
Will it last if you take me now? Those were the first words Marco ever directed at Katakuri in real time. 3 days will be fine. Then I'll meet you guys back on the ship, Pops. The problem, Katakuri realized long before they'd reached the bedroom and Marco the Phoenix had shut the door behind them, was that he'd have to remove his muffler. Maybe he ought to command Marco to turn off the lights, but that felt too humiliatingly virginal to even contemplate. So the words never came, and that futurity was never actualized. Instead, here was Marco the Phoenix, a human-sized mostly man, tiny in Katakuri's large room, with the large doors and the large bed no one ever used. Marco had a hand on either side of his already open shirt, and Katakuri knew what he was going to offer, even, "Want me to take?" "No." But that was a foolish answer, no matter how Katakuri cut it. It came on instinct, and now that it was present, then quickly the past, Katakuri could do nothing to shift it from existence. He felt his chest and neck heat, and willed the incriminating flush of red down. It wouldn't do to show that kind of vulnerability in front of an enemy. His enemy, who looked amused, but not cruelly so. There was nothing cruel about Marco the Phoenix standing alone in Katakuri's room. Nothing cruel about the curve to Marco's lips.
"But you'll bite me through my clothes, Yoy."
If Katakuri were a less careful, less precise, less perfect man, he'd have flinched at the mention of his teeth from a complete stranger. Or, more accurately, he'd have thrown a fist so vicious that at least 3 granite walls and a hard-struck bargain would go down with Marco. But this was Katakuri as brother, and a brother had to be perfect to protect all his precious siblings. The man before him understood that. The man before him had said, "Sure, Yoy, you can chew on me for a bit to prevent a war between 2 Yonko. Why wouldn't I agree?" "You know," and Marco the Phoenix was cheerful now, and still removing his shirt despite Katakuri's earlier protest. He was taking up the quota of bright grins that the Whitebeard pirates apparently had to fill or something, now that Firefist was no longer present.
"I've always liked you."
Katakuri steadied himself for battle, because clearly this was the line of an enemy trying to unsettle his guard. Marco tossed his shirt, vaguely folded, off to the side and held his hands up in a placating gesture.
"I don't mean anything off by it, Yoy, just telling the truth."
"Why bother?"
"I don't mean anything off by it, Yoy, just telling..."
"I don't need to know,"
Katakuri interrupted, unfolding his arms decisively. Marco was a distance away, but this was as good an opportunity as any to demonstrate his powers, demonstrate that he and his siblings weren't to be fucked with, that if Marco had any sly plans in store. But there was also nothing sly about Marco's easy manners, making himself more at home in Katakuri's room than Katakuri ever did. He could keep them buried. Demonstrate that Mama always got her way. The mochi fist closing around him caught Marco truly by surprise. Marco's feet kicked on instinct, but refrained from transforming. "No bird," Katakuri surmised, appreciated gluey, gooey substances binding its wings. No bird appreciated being brought up to a monstrous jaw of fangs and selfish teeth either, he would guess. Better to get this, and the inevitable horrified disgust, over and done with as quick as possible. Upon the revelation of Katakuri's mouth, Marco froze. Then he blinked and cocked his head.
"Oh, well, maybe you can bite my leg then?"
Katakuri hadn't seen that coming. Marco blinked some more, looking very, very amused at eye level with Katakuri.
"I'd offer to take off my pants, Yoy, but somehow I don't think you'd appreciate that very much."
With renewed battle adrenaline, Katakuri cast Haki, Haki, Haki. But for some reason it wasn't working. He just couldn't see what Marco had planned. A small human hand shifted beneath his mochi, and Katakuri felt a burst of relief at the forthcoming attack, accompanied by a feeling that, once upon a time, he might have been able to recognize as disappointment, but had been so steadfastly eradicated from his conscious thought that once more Katakuri just swept the feeling away with knuckles, muscles, bone. When Katakuri let Marco's hand free, though, it wasn't covered with haki. It wasn't poised for offense at all. Instead, it rested on the back of Katakuri's hand, in a gesture that was recognizably reassurance. "Hey," he said. "Sorry, I'm just joking around, Yoi. Do what you need to do, okay? As long as you don't hurt me too badly, it's your decision." Your decision. That thought didn't even register in real time, but still too late. If Marco's words had been an attack, Katakuri would have been speared on brutal talons. Still, though, like the words had grown claws, they dug in. What an odd statement coming from Marco. Your decision. Of course it was Katakuri's decision. Everything had been Katakuri's decision from the get-go. The proposal to collect, the walk to the bedroom, even Marco's current position, held in front of Katakuri's lethal teeth. It had all been decided upon, and only barely by Marco. And yet... "You said to bite your leg," Katakuri snapped. Marco was watching his mouth, just as he expected. But that wasn't an expression of disgust. Far from it. "Why?" "Oh, I..." Here Marco went a bit pink, and his fingers swiped sheepishly at Katakuri's thumb. "Mostly a joke again. But I don't know how this works for you, Yoi. I assumed jumping jeans, but I didn't know if you'd prefer uniform muscle tissue or a variety of organ tissue."
"The leg should be fine," Katakuri interrupted again, because he didn't know how to imagine his teeth buried in Marco's guts for an extended amount of time. Besides, Katakuri didn't have a weak stomach, but he's always been more of a sweet than savory man, and why introduce the smell of perforated intestines to a situation that didn't warrant it? The leg was a good suggestion, because Katakuri could far more easily see how they would lift one of Marco's legs and get Katakuri's teeth embedded in his thigh. But would they go from the front or the back or from the inside? "Oh, your decision." When Katakuri could see it, the future didn't matter because it still had to be changed to clear, expectant paths. Now that Marco's secession of control had rendered Katakuri's foresight moot, though, the future was, for once, entirely determinable by his hand. No mama to think best of, or to tell him just hurry up so she could see her new pseudo-collected toy already. No siblings to impress and hide his deformity from. Just Katakuri. And the man in his grip staring at Katakuri's teeth with not disgust, not cruelty, not slyness, but rather licking his own teeth with an expression most like... Katakuri's hand split into two, parting Marco's legs with mochi. He wished Marco had taken his pants off, but what were wishes but decisions not yet made? The fabric parted in jagged scraps under his imprecise incisors, his unpracticed mouth. Blue flames surged, but Katakuri wasn't worried, since that was the point. And Marco's eyes had gone wide and dark, pupils sheening like haki, and... This was a fight, but not to win. This was a fight between separate brothers to protect their families from the raging wild wills of the world, and... Their decision was this, Katakuri thought, as his teeth punctured thigh muscles, isn't for Mama. Perhaps the collection was. Perhaps Katakuri's genes were still loyal to his parents, and sure, perhaps the framework of this entire event was for Mama. but not this. The bared skin of an inner thigh, the hand fisted in his hair for balance, the intimate warmth of Marco's inked torso right against his cheekbone, the fluttering gasp that was breathed into the shell of Katakuri's ear. And it was such a difficult thought to complete, that this is for Blue flames crackled hospitably right in Katakuri's mouth, licking his gums. And if Katakuri curled his tongue, he could lick them right back. Ugh! The groan faded into a sigh, and Marco's free foot had turned into a talon taking purchase on Katakuri's shoulder. Through every point of contact between their bodies, Katakuri could feel Marco's tremors like a young earthquake.
That feels good.
This is for Marco. But the flames were fading, and it was such a wholly interesting texture in Katakuri's mouth that he just wanted more. And hadn't Marco said, "This is for me." So Katakuri loosened his jaw and bit down again. He'd been careful to keep Marco's lower leg away from the guillotine edges of his sharpest fangs, but he felt his shorter teeth puncture calf muscles now, felt Marco's entire body jerk with it as the flames started back up again.
"So this is..."
Marco's voice sounded so ruined already, like the people Katakuri had interrogated over the years. But why did Marco never sound unhappy, even between Katakuri's unpleasant teeth?
"Is this all that needs to happen? You just bite and the gene transfer just works on its own?"
After a moment to consider how to respond, Katakuri nodded. Marco's grip tightened in Katakuri's hair, and a far more desperate cry left his throat.
"Not to make this weird or anything," Marco choked out, "but I really just might..."
The flames were dimming again, and Katakuri took the opportunity to remove his teeth entirely, to pull Marco away, ignoring Marco's noise of protest. Katakuri held his arm out far enough so that he could see all of Marco's face, full and clear. This was so that he could move his thumb to the front of Marco's groin and push. Marco's noises were no longer of protest, and Katakuri rolled the hard dick under his finger in consideration. "How can this be a sacrifice?" he laughed darkly, "when you're enjoying it this much." Marco, when his eyes shot sharp at Katakuri, had his glare buttressed by golden flames.
"Who said anything about a sacrifice, Yoi?"
Those glowing eyes with the hockey black pupils raked down Katakuri's entire body, and Katakuri felt the desire practically gouge his skin. This was a decidedly foreign sensation. When was the last time someone feared him less than they liked him? When was the last time someone had looked right at Katakuri's bare face and then licked his own lips? Maybe it didn't have to always be about family after all. "Again," Marco husked, hips and half-shredded pants grinding forward into Katakuri's grip of him.
"Your call, but I'd really like it if you got your teeth in me again."
And how could Katakuri refuse that? He could. He just wouldn't like to. "Where?" Doors, Katakuri felt, were opening. Who was last to see the stitched-up scars at the corners of his lips slide up into a smirk? When was the last time Katakuri felt so playful, so carefree, handling a person between his blood-aged gloves? What was it that compelled Katakuri now to slide a rough, padded finger through the shredded cloth of Marco's pants and push in until they rested at a dry entrance? How could he mirror Marco's parted, panted mouth with such a lack of self-consciousness as he pushed that finger deep inside? Here.
His arm had shrunk back to normal length, and Katakuri brought Marco closer still. He wanted that throaty gasp back in his ear, that fire back in his mouth. With a precise little kick, Marco shed the last of his pants. His sandals had their straps severed and were flung off long ago, and groaned so beautifully loud as he sat himself more firmly back on Katakuri's finger inside him. With that same hand, Katakuri spread Marco's legs once more like he was opening a book. All that skin, unwounded, as if Katakuri's teeth were inconsequential, something nobody had to pay for, was put on display. Katakuri let his tongue slip out and licked. Marco's hand scrambled for purchase against his fangs. By the time Katakuri has tasted that split-open center of Marco with the length of his entire tongue, Marco was shaking into orgasm. So Katakuri lapped again and again and again until all the wet just tasted like his own spit again, and Marco was entirely lost to shivering. Helpless, mewling noises kept tumbling out of Marco's throat, and Katakuri discovered a particularly extractive combination of finger crooking and tongue twisting. He wondered where his protective instincts, usually so hyper-responsive to sounds like this, had gone. Was it because Marco wasn't family? But Katakuri had also never felt such a deep thirst for sadism. That overwhelming need to keep a man writhing and crying, split open on one hand and making Katakuri wonder how he'd look, how he'd taste split open on his teeth. Katakuri's jaw almost snapped shut on Marco's leg, fangs going deep enough to hit bone. Blood poured into Katakuri's mouth, a particularly powerful spray from a severed artery, and for a second Katakuri feared the worst. Destructible after all. No way. He cast his hockey forward and saw, at the same moment he felt, actually, the burst of crackling flames on his tongue and the sheer relief. Marco's hands were scrambling for Katakuri's face, grabbing. Was he trying to fight it? Figuring that letting Marco get a good hit in was more than fair, after he nearly took the man's whole damn leg off, Katakuri eased off the tension in his jaw. Marco, sliding downward the direction he was trying to go, still made a sound of displeasure, and before Katakuri could figure out what the fuck Marco was actually trying to do, there was the oddest sensation of wet warmth on his mouth, on his upper lip. Ah, shit, Marco suddenly muttered, righting himself back on Katakuri's hand. The finger, still there, was acknowledged with a little half-flutter of eyelashes. His face had become wet with his own blood, and he glanced sheepishly up at Katakuri, one palm braced on Katakuri's cheek. Sorry, I should have asked. Is that okay? Is that okay? If this evening has taught Katakuri anything, it was that casting observation hockey on this man yielded very little useful information. He did it anyway, searching for an easy answer. Is that okay? Is that okay? You caught me by surprise, too, Marco was continuing with a grimace. Hence all the blood, Yoi. I don't usually just spray, I swear. But I mean, I'm good. How are you? He was painting a red palm print in his own blood on Katakuri's cheek, and the man was asking how Katakuri was. Marco licked at his lips, and unconsciously, Katakuri mirrored him, and Marco's eyes went half-lidded again. No offense, but I'd really like to do that for you. Marco wanted to kiss him. Do you mind, Yoi? How could Katakuri mind? He could. Wouldn't like to. He brought Marco to his face once more, teeth slightly ajar. Marco's mouth immediately descended back on the red, lapping up his own blood from Katakuri's lip with fascinating vigor. The sensation tingled, shooting like harmless streaks of lightning down Katakuri's whole body. If this were any of his other siblings here, Katakuri suddenly thought, they might call Marco a freak, an aberration, a monstrosity. Whitebeard's famously immortal son, who got hard for a fanged creature three times his size, who got off on arterial spray and the impossible possibility of death, all with shameless delight. A low, loud growl rumbled its way from Katakuri's chest, out through his throat. He wanted so badly to just be in Marco once more, fucked through that sparkling blue flame with his sensitive teeth, but oh, he still had the finger, didn't he? The one that, despite a lack of lubrication, Marco was settled quite comfortably on now. So to satisfy some of that overwhelming urge to fill, Katakuri let his finger turn to Mochi and expand. Fuck! Marco's head tossed back with a shout, and his hand scored itself down the edge of Katakuri's sharpest, longest fangs. Katakuri tasted blood and fire, saw blood and fire in Marco's wild, euphoric eyes. God, your cock must be huge, Marco snarled. Aren't you tired of holding me up like this? The bed's right there, Yoi. Just lie down on your back and let me. He trailed off because Katakuri had tossed his head back as well in helpless barks of laughter. Katakuri could feel Marco holding on while his whole perch shook, that finger, flexible and inflatable as it was, shaking along with. But there was no helping it. Just lie down on your back. All these words that just fell so easily from this strange, strange man's abominable mouth. They were casual to Marco, but so bloody for Katakuri. Things that stole beats from his heart and the air pressure from his lungs. Marco wanted him to lie down, and who was he to refuse? Well, he was Katakuri. Yes, he was his mother and some other creature's son. But he'd had his teeth in Marco and the deed was done. He was just Katakuri now. And this was to be a compendium of his own decisions, damn it. He wasn't going to refuse. There was still no predicting Marco, but Katakuri had learned enough about the man in the time they'd been together to guess that he might pout about the unexplained laughter, but take it in good-natured stride. Katakuri could also guess that upon sitting down on the bed, Marco's gaze would darken, and Marco would lick his lips. He could guess that Marco would look so pretty with his spine arched back, as Katakuri fucked his ass some more with a randomly expanding, randomly shape-changing finger. And Katakuri would be right on all accounts. It would, and Katakuri knew this. Take a long, perilous moment for Katakuri to actually sit himself back. He was still technically not lying down, because at the last moment he'd felt such an unhappy clenching in his gut that he settled half up against the headboard instead. But Marco crawled up his chest and kissed him on the mouth again. Said, good, I'll be able to see your face better like this. Katakuri didn't need to ask, for what? His cock, kindly freed from his pants by Marco just moments ago, twitched against his stomach. The sheer size of him. Marco had swiped his hand over the cockhead and came away with a veritable palmful of pre-cum, which he promptly reached around and fingered into his own hole. There were things, Katakuri found, that were better unforeseen.
You've been such an accommodating host, considering the circumstances, Marco purred, legs spread wide, so wide across Katakuri's abs.
He had a hand slightly behind him to the side, liberally massaging Katakuri's cock up and down with the strength of his entire arm. It's only fair of me to return the favor, Yoi. Katakuri saw the opportunity and spread black haki over one of his long, sharp fangs. He brought a palm up and sliced skin. Hand back down, gripped and smeared his blood on Marco's body. Then, with the blood that marked both his wound and his parentage, Katakuri summoned up those stowaway genes his teeth had extracted from Marco's body. Blue flames, a shade darker than Marco's, billowed and blanketed his hand with Marco in it. Marco stared with lips parted, his mouth no doubt very dry. His cock, Katakuri was pleased to see, was hard again, curving up off of Katakuri's belly. It was splashed and dripping red. "Who said anything about a favor?" Katakuri rumbled. It was Marco's turn at helpless laughs. But Marco recovered quicker with aplomb and a toothy smile of his own. He stood up on the bed, bringing Katakuri's cock up with him, making his intentions with it very clear.
"Well, start me on a fresh tab then, Yoi. I'm sure I'll be back for more."
"Ace," Thatch groaned, thudding his fruit knife dramatically into the cutting block as Marco stumbled back into the galley later that night.
"This is so stupid."
"Hey," protested Ace, who was right there. "Smoothie said Marco was going to get chewed on, okay? I had good reason to be worried. Right, Marco? Look at how fucked up you are." Marco, collapsing bonelessly into the seat beside Ace, just hummed in placid agreement with his face mushed against the table. Thatch made another sound of abject disgust.
"Oh, he got fucked up, all right. Tell us, Marco, did you get chewed?"
"Mm-hmm," Marco grinned dopily into the graining wood.
"And were his teeth big?"
"So, so big." A pleasant shiver ran up Marco's spine just thinking about it, and he still couldn't feel his thighs.
"You see what's going on now?"
The loud and vindictive slicing and dicing of innocent fruit resumed, and Marco let Thatch's stream of angry muttering wash over him.
"Had Ace and Josu coming back all anxious and shit, but the moment Pops mentioned the guy was tall and mean-looking and probably had big teeth, I knew. I fucking knew."
"Oh." That was Ace in realization.
"Oh. He's depraved," Thatch wailed. "A freak, an aberration, a monstrosity."
"Hey," Marco mumbled in protest, seconds before blissful sleep and toothy dreams claimed him.
"I did it for the family."
The end. The music used in this podfic is Bite Me by N-. Author's notes. Cut ending line for pacing. And Katakuri's always loved his regularly scheduled snacking. So listen, I learned about bedeltoid rotifers and their horizontal gene transfer capabilities and their inner circle of teeth on the Creature Feature podcast, and I knew I had to make it happen with Katakuri, okay? If you've read my other stuff, you know evolutionary biology is my truest kink. If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment for either myself or for the author, you're more than welcome to do so. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, you can do that on the podfic post, which is probably wherever you found this podfic in the first place. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, you can do so on the text post, which will be linked from the podfic post. Thanks for listening!